Do you understand the purpose of human existence as we enter the new millennium? World News and Prophecy presents an analysis of world affairs and the answers to the great questions of life in light of the Word of God. This program will help you unlock the true meaning behind the events in the Middle East, the global economy, politics, and religion. And now, for World News and Prophecy, Dr. Donald Ward.
Greetings, everyone, and welcome to today's program. The world has entered one of the most critical, crucial times in human history. On every front, war could erupt that would plunge the world into World War III. Korea continues to push the nuclear card with a bellicose attitude that should send chills down the spine of world leaders, and for that matter, each one of us. China continues its military buildup with an ever-watchful eye on Taiwan, and the day is bound to come in which they make their move to re-annex the island. In the Near East, India continues to pursue military prominence and is playing up to China and Russia, and at the same time supposedly has friendly and good relations with the United States and is supposed to be one of our strongest allies. Pakistan, even though it is ostensibly an ally of the U.S. in the war against terrorism, continues to be the training ground for terrorists. That alliance is mainly a political alliance based on cooperation between Pakistani leaders and the Bush administration. The people of Pakistan are clearly in support of Islamic fundamentalism. Russia's President Vladimir Putin has warned the United States and its Western allies that they had better be careful as to how they deal with Iran, Syria, and Hezbollah. The fragile ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah hangs by a thread. Israel has already conducted one incursion into the Baqa Valley to stop an armament shipment from Syria intended for Hezbollah. UN Secretary General Kofi Annan accused Israel of breaking the ceasefire, but at the same time Israel said that since the UN hasn't sent the peacekeeping forces into southern Lebanon, it must do whatever it can to defend itself and has the right to defend itself, and must not allow Hezbollah to rearm. In fact, that is a contradiction within itself because Hezbollah has not been disarmed in the first place. The current world situation is so tense and critical and troublesome that U.S. President George Bush cut his Texas vacation short and has held high-level security talks with advisors this week. In a press conference held on Monday of this week, he urged the UN to send at least 3,500 peacekeeping forces into southern Lebanon immediately. But the nations of Western Europe are slow to respond, saying that the terms of the ceasefire are too ambiguous and wonder if they should or could literally disarm Hezbollah. The current ceasefire is an interim period as each party preps and prepares for the next round. The nations are indeed doing what the prophet Joel prophesied in Joel 3:9. They are beating their plowshares into swords. The situation in Iraq grows more desperate with each passing day, and there is really no end in sight. The president, in essence, stated Monday that Baghdad was a disaster, but at the same time, he hastened to add that the United States would stay the course, and that to pull out of Iraq now would be even more disastrous. One could only imagine what would happen in the Middle East if the United States should pull up stakes and leave at this critical, crucial juncture in human history. The politicians who try to make over this really haven't considered all of the consequences involved in such a move. The region would become a free-for-all overnight. So expect the United States to stay the course. The Iranians are supplying the insurgents in Iraq with armaments and moral support. Iran's involvement in Iraq goes back several years. Iran calls itself a Shiite republic and provided covert help to the Shiites of Iraq as they attempted to overthrow Saddam Hussein, who was backed by the Sunnis. The irony of the current situation in Iraq is that the Shiites is the majority party in the fledgling new democratic government, and the Sunnis are killing Shiites, claiming they're being left out of that new government. All of this civil and religious unrest in Iraq plays right into the hands of the Iranians. The Iranians do not want to see a democracy in Iraq or in any other nation in the world. Iranian leaders are obsessed with a religious fervor to pave the way for the Grand Mahdi that will supposedly bring peace to the world. Their vision of the Middle East, and for that matter, for the whole world, is to create a Shiite republic that would engulf the Middle East and the whole world. Iran is, in fact, a theocracy with church and state combined. Iran is the modern world's first and only Shiite Islamic republic. Regardless of any elections, the supreme leader remains, as before, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Hosseini Khomeini, the same cleric who succeeded Ayatollah Khomeini nearly 17 years ago on June the 4th, 1989. And even with elections, the Iranian people have overwhelmingly voted for the most radical supporter of the Ayatollah since the Iranian Revolution, squarely defeating any candidates that had tried in vain to nudge Iran back to some modicum of secular reforms. Most Westerners are probably not aware of the fact that when all is said and done, the president of Iran and his ministers do not make the ultimate decisions that will determine the course of the history of that region in the months ahead. They bow to the dictates of Ayatollah Khomeini, who in turn bows only to his personal interpretation of the Quran. That is the man who will decide almost single-handedly how Iran retaliates against UN sanctions if and when they come, and how Iran escalates any crisis, and how the next phase of this new, even hotter Cold War will be waged. Western leaders have often talked about and hoped for a regime change from within Iran. However, in view of the religious and spiritual dimensions that are present in Iran, there is very little hope of regime change coming from within. It seems that Iran's Ayatollah Khomeini, the supreme religious leader, and its political leader, Mahmoud Ahmadinejad, spew forth more aggressive rhetoric with each passing day. Ayatollah Khomeini announced Monday that Tehran would not stop its pursuit of nuclear technology. The Islamic Republic of Iran has made its own decision, he says, in the nuclear case. God willing, with patience and power, will continue its path. End of quote. Iran's President Mahmoud Ahmadinejad also has insisted that his country would not back down from its nuclear goals and hinted that its response, if anyone who really tried to stop them, would be dramatic. And over again, he has threatened the nation of Israel and stated that they should be wiped off the map and no longer counted as a nation among the peoples of the world. The UN has given Iran until the end of August to answer its demand to halt its nuclear program, but Iran said it would give its response on August the 22nd, Tuesday of this week. And true to their word, Iran's top nuclear negotiator said Tuesday, August 22nd, that Tehran was ready to enter serious negotiations, his word, serious negotiations, over its disputed nuclear program, but did not say whether it was willing to suspend uranium enrichment. That is the key demand from the UN. The negotiator, Ali Larijani, hand-delivered Iran's response to a Western package of nuclear incentives aimed at persuading it to suspend enrichment. He gave the reply to ambassadors from Britain, China, Russia, France, Germany, and Switzerland, and on state-run television said that was their intent, that is, to enter into serious negotiations, but did not give any details. Most analysts believe that the response will be vague and with no definitive answer regarding its nuclear ambitions. So why did Iran choose August the 22nd to give their response instead of August the 31st? And what significance does August the 22nd hold in the religion of Islam? According to Princeton's Middle East scholar, Professor Bernard Lewis, quote, this year, August the 22nd, corresponds in the Islamic calendar to the 27th day of the month of Rajab of the year 1427, This, by tradition, is the night when many Muslims commemorate the night flight of the Prophet Muhammad on the winged horse Burak, first to the Father's Mosque, usually identified with Jerusalem, and then the heaven and back. The Father's Mosque is the Al-Aqsa Mosque on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. It's interesting to note that the word Jerusalem does not appear in the Quran, so the Muslims decided to build a mosque in Jerusalem and name it Al-Aqsa, meaning Father's Mosque, since there is a passage in the Quran that refers to the Father's Mosque. August the 22nd also coincides with the conquest of Jerusalem by Saladin, and according to Islamic tradition, it is when Imam Mahdi, the great Imam Mahdi that they're expecting to return to the earth, is going to come, heralding a new period of justice over the earth. It is apparently no coincidence, then, that Iran chose this time to conduct large-scale military maneuvers that dubbed the Blow of Zulfagar, referring to the holy sword of Imam Ali, as part of what it terms its new, quote, defensive doctrine. Iran on Sunday test-fired a new missile with a range of up to 250 kilometers named the Segeh, meaning lightning in Farsi. Apparently, the whole Arab world and the world of Islam were greatly emboldened by Hezbollah's ability to stand up against the powerful Israeli army. Hezbollah was equipped with powerful Russian-made anti-tank weapons that came to them by way of Syria, and these anti-tank weapons were able to take out a number of Israeli tanks. On the heels of the ceasefire between Israel and Hezbollah, Syria's president, Bashar, announced that Syria would be retaking the Golan Heights. It is clear that the recent war between Israel and Hezbollah changed the dynamics in the Middle East, and the fear of Israel's army was greatly diminished in the Arab world. The war in Lebanon was a test of Iranian arms, but that is a two-edged sword. Hezbollah's deployment of Iranian-supplied weapons served as a wake-up call to Israel and the United States, a wake-up call telling them that they had a lot of work to do before they considered a massive ground invasion of Lebanon or Syria or Iran. When we come back for the next segment of our program, we'll continue to show that indeed we're living in critical, crucial times, and what should be your response. The world has entered into one of the most critical, crucial times in human history. This is made apparent by what is going on several fronts in the world today, from the saber rattling in Korea to events all the way back to the Middle East. It is shown on the face of the American president as he held a press conference this week in Washington, D.C. It is shown on the faces of leaders throughout the world, and people on the street are wondering what is going to happen next. You need to be prepared for what lies ahead. You can be able to withstand that which is coming in the days that lie ahead. You need to understand that what the purpose of human existence really is and why you were born, and that the kingdom of God is eventually going to come to this earth and establish peace. Human beings will never bring peace to this earth, but Jesus Christ is coming again and he will bring peace to this earth. So why were you born? You need to understand the Bible clearly reveals the purpose of human existence. To more fully understand this, all you have to do is to call for our free booklet, What is Your Destiny? This booklet will help you come to understand why you were born. And at the same time, we will send you the booklet, The Road to Eternal Life. This life is preparation for the life to come, where you will be able to rule and reign as a king and priest in the kingdom of God with God and Christ and the saints forever and ever. So just pick up the phone, call our toll-free number, and ask for these two free booklets, What is Your Destiny and The Road to Eternal Life. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. 886-5614. And now back to World News and Prophecy. According to Muslim legend, a divine light enveloped Jerusalem and the rest of the world during Muhammad's night flight to the Al-Aqsa Mosque in Jerusalem, located on the Temple Mount. Literally, Al-Aqsa means the Father's Mosque. However, Ahmadinejad's extremist ambition would plunge this region into darkness instead of light. But ironically, Ahmadinejad believes that the Grand Mahdi will appear at a time of great chaos and confusion. Ahmadinejad states, quote, "The ultimate promise of all divine religions will be fulfilled with the emergence of a perfect human being, the 12th Iman, who is heir to all prophets. He will lead the world to justice and absolute peace. O mighty Lord, I pray to you to hasten the emergence of your last repository, the Promised One," end of quote. Iran's dominant Twelver sect holds that this will be Muhammad ibn Hassan, the righteous descendant of the Prophet Muhammad. The Mahdi is said to have gone into occlusion in the 9th century at age 5. I don't know what is keeping him alive, but this is what they believe. His return will be preceded by cosmic chaos, war, bloodshed, and pestilence. It's similar to the scene that is described in the book of Revelation in chapter 16. However, the book of Revelation is inspired by Almighty God, whereas this prophecy is not. After this cataclysmic confrontation, they claim, between the forces of good and evil, the Mahdi will lead the world to an era of universal peace. Ahmadinejad's brand of Shiite faith believes that he can not only influence but hasten the awaited return of the 12th Iman known as the Mahdi. Ahmadinejad is close to the Messianic Hojatiyah Society in Iran, which is governed by the conviction the 12th Iman's return will be hastened by the creation of chaos on the earth. Thus, he seems anxious to be at the center of chaos and confusion, apparently thinking it will pave the way for the return of the Mahdi. Ahmadinejad's ideological mentor and spiritual guide is Ayatollah Mesbah Yazdi, who leads the ultra-conservative acolytes who believe the 12th Iman's return is imminent. American author Borchgrave writes that Ahmadinejad would probably welcome a war with the U.S. and Israel. It seems that peoples of the Western world cannot grasp the fact that powerful spiritual forces are at work, spiritual forces that work behind the scenes, and that the ultimate battle is spiritual. The prophet Daniel describes a battle between the angelic forces and the prince of Persia, who is really a powerful demon. Daniel had received a vision, had been fasting and praying for 21 days, seeking the meaning of the vision, when a spirit being came to him. You can read of this in Daniel chapter 10, verse 11. "And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto you, and stand upright, for unto you am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel. From the first day that you did set your heart to understand and to chasten yourself before your God, your words were heard, and I am come for your words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia," Persia is modern-day Iran, "withstood me for 21 days, so this prince," see, this is an angelic being that has come to Daniel, and he was withstood by one called the Prince of Persia, a powerful demon. "But lo, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, and I'm remained there with the kings of Persia." You can read this in your own Bible. Read all of Daniel chapter 10. He goes on to say, "Now I'm come to make you understand what shall befall your people in the latter days, for yet the vision is for many days." And I believe that we're definitely living in the latter days. You can also write or call for our free booklet, "Are We Living in the Last Days?" Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-888-8888. 1-888-886-5614. 1-888-886-5614. The angel goes on to say, "And, O man greatly beloved, fear not, peace be unto you. Be strong, yes, be strong. And when he had spoken to me, I was strengthened. And he said, Let me speak now, my Lord. And he strengthened me. Then said he, Know you wherefore I come unto you? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia, this powerful demon spirit. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia shall come. And Alexander the Great came, and he defeated the Persians. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, and there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Daniel's account of this encounter between the holy angels and the prince of Persia bears testimony to the fact that great battles are being fought behind the scenes. But you might ask, why are the forces of evil, the forces of Satan the devil, fighting against the angels of God? The battle is over. Who is going to control the peoples of the world? And who will be the object of worship? Satan the devil is on an insatiable quest to break prophecy, to overthrow the throne of God and become the object of worship. And at the same time, he is on a mission to destroy humankind, because humankind, they are the potential sons and daughters of God who will rule and reign as kings and priests in the kingdom of God, in the family of God, in the world tomorrow. Satan has worked through several kingdoms and kings through the ages in his efforts to break prophecy and become the object of worship. The Apostle Paul warns us about the spiritual battles and the spiritual powers in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 10, where he writes, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." The Bible makes it clear that indeed this is Satan's world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says that Satan is the god of this world. No religious leaders, no political leaders, or no leaders of any kind are going to be able to save this world from Satan the devil. The only way that you can be saved from that which is to come is through the power of the Spirit of God, by you repenting, falling on your knees, and calling out to God that he would intervene in your life and save you. Everyone has heard about the handwriting on the wall, even if they have not read the famous account in the 5th chapter of the book of Daniel. There is no place on earth today in which the biblical signs of the end of the age are not readily apparent. The prophecies that Jesus spoke 2,000 years ago, just before he was betrayed and crucified for the sins of the world, are being fulfilled even as I speak. Let's note the first 8 verses of the famous Olivet prophecy. Jesus Christ, before he was betrayed and crucified, went in and out from the Temple Mount there for 4 or 5 days, teaching in the temple area. Matthew 24, verse 1, Jesus went out, departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the buildings of the temple. And Jesus said unto them, "See you not all these things? Verily I say unto you, there shall not be left here one stone upon another, and that shall not be thrown down." And as he sat upon the Mount of Olives, the disciples came unto him privately, saying, "Tell us when these things shall be." And Jesus answered and said unto them, "Take heed that no man deceive you. For many shall come in my name, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many." And there is great deception in the world today. "For many shall come, saying, I am Christ, and shall deceive many. You shall hear wars, rumors of wars, and see that you be not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. Nation shall rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom. There shall be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in different places. All these are the beginnings of sorrows." So we're in that period of time at the beginning of sorrows, when we see all of these things taking place. And not only do we see these things taking place, but we see natural disasters in so many different places, great increases in earthquakes around the face of the earth, and also upset weather Drought is gripping the western areas of the United States of America. And at the same time, floods are occurring some places in the Southwest. El Paso, Texas is experiencing some of the worst floods in its history, and so has been the case in the Northeast. But yet at the same time, most of the nation is burning up and is in desperate need of rain. So anywhere you want to look, we can look on the domestic scene in America. We still see children killing children and parents killing children and children killing parents, and it goes on and on. Yet in view of all these things, most Americans go their merry way, caught up in the godless culture of a godless age that continues to pour out the curses of those who have forgotten the true God. Yes, we are paying the price for not believing that God exists. Really, in our educational system today, we deny that God exists, and we deny that the law of God is valid. So as we look at the domestic scene in America, we see no evidence of people coming to understand why they were created and what is the purpose of human existence. We're filled with cliches and meaningless rhetoric. In our attempts to describe the season of our discontent and frustration. But alas, words fail us, and we're left with, oh, well, what's the use? Can anybody really do anything about it? We may not be able to change the world, and we cannot change the world. The nations are not going to learn the way of peace until the Prince of Peace comes and people turn to the Prince of Peace. There is coming a time and when God is going to send Christ to this earth, and he is going to intervene, and peace is going to reign supreme on the face of the earth, and the nations will beat their swords into plowshares instead of what they're doing today of beating their plowshares into swords. It seems that there won't be many plowshares left in the near future. But at the same time, as we see all of these things, we plot along each day, and days quickly fade into weeks, months into years, and years pass by, and we find ourselves growing old, spinning our wheels in a state of despair. Life doesn't have to be lived in such a monotonous stupor. There is hope, and that hope is in the world that is to come, the wonderful world tomorrow. You can change. You can be filled with hope and earnest expectation and anticipation for the soon coming kingdom of God. You can start your quest for a more exciting and fulfilling life today. Call for our free booklets, What is Your Destiny and the Road to Eternal Life. You can't change the world, but you can change you with God's help. And then as the world prepares for war, you can prepare to help God and Christ bring peace to this world in the kingdom of God. And be sure to be tuned to this same station at this time next week for World News and Prophecy. You have been listening to World News and Prophecy. For the free literature offered on this program, you may call our toll-free number. Ask for the booklets, What is Your Destiny and the Road to Eternal Life? You will find out why you were born and how you can be a glorious, radiant spirit being in the kingdom of God. That toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. Once again, that toll-free number is 1-888-886-5614. And be sure to be tuned to the station for World News and Prophecy next week.